And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 153. Odin and Billing's Daughter.
A creaking bow, cried the High One. A burning flame. A yawning wolf. A croaking raven. A grunting wild boar. A tree with shallow roots, mounting waves, a boiling kettle, a flying arrow, tide on the ebb, new ice, a coiled snake, a bride's pillow talk, a sword with a hairline, a playful bear, the sons of a king, an ailing calf. A stubborn thrall. A witch's flattery. A fresh corpse. A chance encounter with your brother's murderer. A half-gutted house. A racehorse. If he lames one leg, he will be useless. No man would be such a fool as to trust these things. The High One cried, A man should not trust a woman's word, and he should never rely on her promises. The hearts of women were turned on a whirling wheel and imbued with caprice. To love a fickle woman is like this. Setting out over ice with a 2-year-old colt, unshod, restive, and unbroken. Or sailing a ship without a rudder in a storm. Or hunting reindeer over slippery rocks with a pulled hamstring. I will speak clearly, cried the High One. For I know them both. Men deceive women. The fairer our words, the falser our thoughts. We undermine their common sense. A man who longs for a woman's love mouths soft words and brings gifts and praises her beauty. Sophistry works wonders. Let no man mock another because of his love. Time and again, the wise are fettered by beauty and ache with love longing. While fools remain unmoved and free. Let no man mock another over what touches many men. Time and again, wise men behave like idiots in the name of some grand passion. Each man must be his own best judge. Nothing is worse for a man who knows himself than frustrated desire. The High One cried, I learned this for myself when I sat among the reeds. Waiting and waiting for my love. I prized that woman as much as my own life. Much good it did me. I first saw Billing's daughter while she slept. She was as dazzling as the sun. I thought the whole earth would become a wilderness unless I could lie with her. Come back after dark, Odin, if you want to win this woman. That was what she said. It would be the worse for us if anyone found we were lovers. I hurried off, lightheaded with desire, wholly taken in by her dulcet words. I was sure she would soon be mine, and mine, and mine again. I came back after nightfall. All the warriors in the stronghold were awake, holding burning torches, waving blazing brands. I had followed a false trail. I would not be shaken off. I came back at dawn, and all the warriors were asleep. What did I find? Nothing but a bitch that the fair woman had leashed to her bed. Men should know that many a fine woman proves fickle when put to the test. I learned this when I wooed Billing's daughters with fair words. That treacherous lady responded with contempt. Foul contempt and nothing else, cried the High One.
little short but sweet message there from the Havamal. And when you look at it, it's not really a story, is it? It's a collection of folk wisdom. And the overall message is, you know, don't count on it, guy. You know, these are things that you shouldn't trust. And, of course, they give a long list of things that you shouldn't trust. You know, you're bound to be disappointed if you put your faith in some of these things. And the story about Odin and Billing's daughter seems to me to be more... It's not really about Odin, is it? It's not really about Billing's daughter. But it's an example that I imagine that most of the audience, of the Skald, who are, you know, gathered around the fire listening to the tales being told, it's an example that a lot of them could identify with. And that's one of the things that I like a lot about Norse lore, is that it's very, very down to earth and very, very relatable, very human. And the gods themselves even are very human. Now, I think that's notable in the story that it is one of the few females that doesn't end up sleeping with Odin. I thought that that was actually pretty amusing. And, you know, I don't think that that irony would be lost on the audience, because they know how Odin got around. So, interesting piece there. And even though if it's not, you know, very long, it's still, you know, well worth the effort to bring this to life. All right. So, we have a lot of time left, don't we? Yeah. So, of course, we're going to cover an issue. Yeah, we've planned this all along. And so let's just go on and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So this week we are covering Thor number 385. Cover dated November of 1987, retail for 75 cents. Cover art is by Ron Frenz, inked by Al Milgram. Shows Thor facing off against none other than the Incredible Hulk. Nicely composed cover here, very reminiscent of, say, a Gil Kane or John Buscema cover. And I, it's kind of a nice cover. There's kind of no backgrounds, and so just kind of like the issue. Unfortunately, I think the cover is probably one of the best things about this issue. The cover blurb says, toe-to-toe with the Incredible Hulk, hoo boy, featuring an untold tale of the Thunder God's past. So you know this is a fill-in issue, folks. And we open up to the splash page where we have the title of the story, Be Thou God or Monster. And of course we have the credits. Jim Shooter plotted the story. Script was by Stan Lee. Eric Larson penciled this. Vinnie Coletta was the inker. Rick Parker was the letterer. Paul Becton was the colorist. Ralph Macchio was the editor. And Tom DeFalco was the editor-in-chief. And the splash page shows the Hulk, and he's kind of looks like he's sleeping, curled up in the middle of a bunch of destroyed trees. Yes, the Hulk is a tree murderer, big time. And, of course, we have our exposition, as always. Know ye the cruel lessons of life must even be learned by the immortals. And so at a time in the not-too-distant past, when the God of Thunder went beardless, and his beloved father still strode the halls of Asgard, life did teach the mighty Thor a painful lesson in the evil of pride. And in this great drama of the gods, this brutish sleeping figure will play a pivotal role. Sleep, monster, sleep. Let your tortured soul and raging heart remain at rest. You've destroyed half a forest in your mindless fury, and when you awake, the violence will start anew. A monster you were, a monster you are, a monster you ever shall be. For the conscience of Bruce Banner no longer dwells within your savage breast. And we see there's a group of campers that stumble across this ruined forest, and they're wondering what could have caused it. And they see, you know, does it look like it's burned? And there wasn't an earthquake. Basically, they can't attribute it to any normal, you know, force of nature. And this old bald guy says, "Then there's only one other explanation. And may the Lord protect us if I'm right." And he would know he's right if he would just turn around, because the Hulk is very, very clearly in view. you know, it looks like he's not that far away. It can only be the Hulk. Well, you know, it could be other superheroes fighting in the middle of the forest. But okay, if it can only be the Hulk, then it can only be the Hulk. And the Hulk wakes up, and he's angry, and it starts coming after them. And this guy in a ugly fuchsia-colored shirt and cowboy boots says, "That growl behind us, is it?" "No!
What is it? What do you see?"
says one of the other guys, who looks as though he could just turn his head and see it. But of course, you know, hey, he doesn't do that. And they get the thoomed by the Hulk and get sent flying through the air. And they kind of screaming, and there's a woman there. She's like, "Don't, please! We've done nothing to you!" And the Hulk is like, "Hulk needs no excuse!" And we hear an ominous Brock. The implication is that he smashed these people. Okay, that does seem rather out of character for the Hulk to kill people in cold blood, doesn't it? I mean, yeah, it seems odd. Anyway, we shift scenes and we see New York City and, of course, the mighty Thor kind of flying through the air. And looks like he's approaching some sort of villains or something. He's saying, "Evil one, stop in thy tracks, or feel thou the wrath of Thor." And it looks like the generic bank robbers, and they're carrying satchels of money or whatever. He's like, "It's the Thunder God. We've had it. No high-flying fruitcakes getting this bank loot away from me. Plug him." "Thou hast been warned," says Thor, and hurls Mjolnir at them, sends them all flying, much like the Hulk sent those other people flying. And I see money flying through the air and guns, and yeah, okay. Thor is watching as... it doesn't look like the people who he just bowled over are being taken away in the ambulance. They probably shot somebody in the bank or whatever. And Thor is saying out loud, "To think that I, son of Odin, must waste my mighty prowess on all too common clay." So yeah, so stopping bank robbers isn't good enough for Thor. And one of the cops overhears him, and he comes up to him and says, "If you're still looking for action, mister, I just heard from federal sources that the Hulk's on a rampage just west of the Mississippi. He threatened a family of campers, actually smashed the ground in front of them, and then wandered away. Family's okay, though, just shaken up." So I guess they didn't smash him after all. "At last, a foe most worthy of my mettle. Though we have battled before, never has there been a true victor. But now it will be a triumph to savor. Let the behemoth beware. His hours are numbered." And Thor whirls his hammer around, takes off. And this, despite the fact that his only indication of where the Hulk is he's just west of the Mississippi. You know, the Mississippi is a pretty long damn river. Okay. I know, it's a little bit too easy to poke holes in this story. So Thor's following, I guess, the trail of carnage that the Hulk has left behind. And Thor's saying out loud, "Secure in his power, he makes no efforts to cover his tracks. None but the Hulk could have caused such carnage. Even as I draw near, mighty Mjolnir doth tingle for battle." Oh my. His hammer's tingling. And we do see the Hulk, and he's in this village called Lansdale, which apparently has a population of 324 and a very bent signpost. And the Hulk is hitting buildings and throwing cars, and there's a sound effect skork. And when he smashes a car, it says Fatosk. And the Hulk is like, "Puny men, run away. Everyone's scared of Hulk." "I say thee nay, Rampager," says the voice of Thor.
"That voice? Hulk heard it before. The yellow hair hammer fighter. Hulk smash you like a flea."
The ranting of a savage doth not disturb a god. And that's just goading the Hulk on. Hulk takes off after Thor, says,
"Hulk bigger. Hulk stronger. Hulk stomp you into ground."
And the Hulk lunges at Thor, who gets taken aback. But he smacks Hulk in the face with his hammer with a kapok. Kind of throws Hulk's head back a little bit. Thor's saying, "Ne'er was battle won with words." But the Hulk recovers, is pushing Thor up against a bunch of used cars. You know, they're used cars because it says so on the sign.
"More Hulk fights. Stronger Hulk gets. Nothing hurts Hulk. And now, Hulk finish you."
And he's trying to smash Thor with all these cars. And And Thor is blocking the Hulk's blows with his hammer. This is, you know, the Hulk hits the hammer with a Zakang. And Thor kind of does this double-handed punch thing with Mjolnir. And that staggers the Hulk back a little bit.
Thou hast gone too far. Yea, and committed the unpardonable sin. Thou hast aroused the rage of a god. And he smashes Thor with a hammer with a giant Spock. And sends him flying and destroying lots and lots and lots of cars. Now, I notice the background here. They've got these, like, skyscrapers and shit in the background. I thought this was a town of 321 people, according to the sign. I don't think they would have, like, big skyscrapers in this place, but I could be wrong. Anyway, it could be like a, you know, movie set or something. And the Hulk is all mad. He's kind of pitching rocks and shit at Thor. It's like, no! Thor hath warned thee, mortal. Nobody warns Hulk. Nobody! And he continues to throw rocks, and Thor's whirling his hammer around and kind of easily deflecting all the rocks that the Hulk's throwing.
Hammer can't save you now.
And the Hulk picks up a car, and he's getting ready to smash Thor with it, and Thor's not impressed. He's like,
lifting a vehicle doth not impress the Thunder God. Mjolnir shall sever it with but one blow.
And it does. He kind of plows his way right through the car with a zist. And it looks like he smacks the Hulk right on the head in the process. Then kind of gets an uppercut with the hammer. And so we see that the Hulk is a little bit hurt. He's got a bloody nose. And then Thor says,
"Our Mjolnir is no mere hammer. 'Tis the power of Asgard incarnate. Though thy brain be bestial, thou art still a man. Thor hath no wish to harm thee."
"Thor is nothing," says Hulk. "Hammer strong, not Thor. Put hammer down. Hulk, show you."
"I say thee nay," says Thor. "Mjolnir and Thor are as one." "Then Thor is coward. Thunder God fears Hulk, but Hulk fears nothing."
And the Hulk takes one of his giant leaps and he grabs Thor, and they're carrying him to the middle of town, I guess. And they smash the middle of the street with a batoom, and they smash a car. And there's people running away here. It looks like Aunt Bee from Mayberry is kind of running in the foreground. And Thor picks up his hammer and smacks the Hulk into a motel. And Thor is saying,
"Thou art worse than bestial. Truly thou art mad."
And then he realizes that, you know, all the destruction he's causing. And he's saying,
"But am I not mad as well? For I am savoring this battle."
And things are quiet in the motel that Thor threw the Hulk into. So Thor is thinking that, you know, must have hurt the Hulk. And he's saying,
"I sought not to injure the monster, but he hath left me no choice. I shall tend his wounds, for he knoweth not what he hath done."
And the green foot kind of sticks out the door, kicks the door in with a scrock. And Thor's like,
"By Odin's beard, he's unharmed."
And the Hulk has grabbed a woman and is holding her upside down by her feet. And of course, he's holding her skirt up so it doesn't, like, flop up and show us her underwear.
"No Hulk in control. Throw hammer away and Hulk will free girl."
"Thou art more monster than e'er I dreamed," says Thor.
And the girl is like, "Don't let him hurt me, please, please." And we'll see how useless the girl is in the next couple of pages.
"Release the female first. I trust thee not," says Thor.
"Hulk no make deal. Put hammer down before too late."
And the Hulk has grabbed the girl by both of her feet and looks like he's about to, like smack her right in face first into the concrete over his head. And Thor's not going to let him do that. And he puts his hammer down on the ground.
"So be it. Now set her free."
"No, throw hammer away," says the Hulk.
And Thor listens and he's thinking to himself,
"My father's enchantment decrees that my hammer must ever return to my hand. Perhaps if I throw Mjolnir a great distance, 'twill take minutes before it returns to its master. In that span of time, I may yet triumph."
And so he throws Mjolnir away, and the Hulk's like,
"Now Thor have no hammer. Now Hulk will crush Thunder God."
"First keep thy word," says Thor. "Release the female."
And so the Hulk is kind of throws her aside. It's funny, the extraordinary lengths that they've gone to, even though the Hulk is holding her by her feet and like in a smasher, that they never actually, you know, show upper skirt, because that would be against the comics code. It's kind of like that Monty Python sketch where they have all these things show up in front of the naked statue. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that. I'm sure a lot of you out there don't even know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so he throws the girl away, and the girl vanishes after he does. I mean, literally is nowhere to be seen in the rest of the issue. And it's funny, I'll talk about this at the end, but she actually is just a prop. And yeah, anyway. So the Hulk throws the girl away, and then he lunges at Thor, grabs him around his neck.
Without hammer, Thor is nothing. Hulk's strongest of all.
And he punches Thor, and Thor goes flying across the street, lands in the middle of a paint hardware store with a clank. Is it just me, or are these sound effects just kind of weird? I think they are. Anyway, so Thor's laying in this hardware store, and there's paint all around and having spilled all around.
He hath unwittingly given me my chance, says Thor. If Thor should flee, his rage may subside, and none will be harmed. But I be son of Odin. The god of thunder doth not flee.
So if I leave, maybe he'll calm down and not hurt anybody.
Nah!
And so the Hulk kind of bursts his way into the hardware store, and so they're inside, and the paints are flying everywhere, splattering Hulk and Thor.
Monster, stand thee fast, says Thor. The bout has just begun. Thor, talk. Hulk, fight. Thor, weak without hammer.
And the Hulk punches Thor through the wall. There's paint splattering everywhere. And there's a person in the hardware store is kind of pinned underneath some shelves or something. And he's like,
run, Thunder God. Save yourself. He can't be beaten.
Not my mortal man, mayhap, says Thor, but I am of the gods.
And he apparently strikes a mighty blow, so mighty that the entire building collapses, which makes me wonder about this this mortal guy who's trapped underneath the wreckage, because it doesn't get addressed again. Anyway, so they burst their way out, or they fight their way out of the wreckage.
None may say that Thor be weak. I shall not shame my birthright.
And people running away. And again, we see big buildings, like a big city, even though it's supposed to be a really small town.
Run for your lives. They're destroying the city.
Get off the streets. Nobody's safe. Nothing can stop them.
My family. I've got to get them.
And they're fighting through a playground, and they destroy a swing set and destroy teeter-totters. And oh, that's just so horrible. And they eventually are fighting near this little bridge. It looks like it goes over a creek or something. And the Hulk has Thor, grabbed around his neck and kind of splashes down into the water. Thor gets free by kicking the Hulk and destroys the bridge in the process. And then the Hulk grabs Thor's cape and swings him around and around and around, and then lets him go and throws him at a school bus full of children. And of course, we get a little bit of exposition here from Stan.
He fights for the sake of battle alone, talking about the Hulk. One a monster, one a god. And yet, in this fateful split second of eternity, each is like an elemental force of nature, each in his own way, out of control. Until,
and Thor realizes that the school bus is full of children, and so he says,
by the golden scepter, if I strike those children.
And he manages to just graze the bus, and the drawing here is really poor, because Thor is completely out of proportion to the school bus. So if this is a school bus, it is a miniature school bus. I mean, really small. And it must be driven by the children, because I don't think an adult would actually fit in this. So Thor kind of hits the bus with his face and knocks it over. But it says here that he averts tragedy, so anyway. And the Hulk is advancing on Thor, and Thor's like,
monster, stay you back! We have done damage enough.
And he's thinking to himself, he heedeth me not. He hath bloodlust in his eyes.
This Thor's last chance. Surrender to Hulk.
And Thor kind of lunges at the Hulk and smacks him in the face with a patak.
Bring shame to Asgard? Never!
They're now fighting again on the, looks like the parking lot of a grocery store. And the caption says,
the Thunder God's blow would have felled a mountain, but of the Hulk alone can it be said. The more he fights, the stronger he grows.
I don't remember that being a Hulk thing. I think Stan is just kind of has a lousy memory. It's more like the madder Hulk gets, the stronger Hulk gets. And the Hulk is saying, Thor, talk of shame. Hulk will shame him. World will see that Hulk is the strongest. And Hulk throws Thor into the supermarket, and there's the big shelves are being knocked over, and people running and screaming. Yee. Oh, they're having a sale. Anyway, so they're fighting in the grocery store, Thor against the Hulk. We got some Stan exposition here. Never have mortal eyes such battle beheld. Never such naked power unleashed. All but forgotten is the risk to others. Only the battle fever remains. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can hold them. To such as they, even stone walls were meant to be shattered. And they burst out the side of the grocery store and onto a bunch of railroad tracks. And there's a train coming, and the train whistle goes, ree. And Thor notices the train coming, and his thought is to the safety of the train, of course. By the Golden Gates, if yon tracks be damaged. And the Hulk is like, now Hulk wins. And the people on the train, we see that they see him fighting on the track. And it's like, do you see what I see? No time to stop. We're going to hit him. So the engineers are, you know, they jump out of the locomotive. The locomotive is barreling towards Thor and the Hulk. And it says here in the caption that the train actually hits the Hulk. But the laws of momentum, even if the Hulk is super, super strong, should still push the Hulk. It should still send the Hulk flying, even if only for a short distance. But instead, they have the Hulk just kind of reaching around and grabbing the locomotive and just smashing it over on top of Thor, along with the rest of the train. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I like the caption here. When you get one of these classic Stan Lee captions here. No sound effect this time. Nothing we could let her would do this justice. Yeah, right. And so the train is smashed on top of Thor. There's a bunch of wreckage around. And again, we have some really poor layout here, where the train cars are miniature train cars. They are much smaller than the Hulk. And the Hulk is big guy, but he's not bigger than a train car. And I don't know, the artwork is not doing it for me here. And Thor doesn't seem to be moving, and Hulk is like, Hulk wins! Nobody beats Hulk! And then an arm thrusts out from underneath, punching the Hulk in the face with a Brock, and of course it's Thor. And the Hulk is hurled back into a bunch of oil cars. And again, you know, the oil cars are much smaller than the Hulk. So this is, way out of proportion. And there's a huge explosion. Again, there is no sound effect here. And big fireball goes up, and there's a lot of things burning. And Thor has dug himself out of the wreckage, and he's saying, what hath my fury wrought? Though he be a monster, I meant not to slay him. But the Hulk, he should know better than that. The Hulk comes out of the fire and is like, he lives! Thor weak, Thor tired, Hulk stronger than ever! And the burning Hulk, he punches Thor, knocks Thor down, and Thor's like, is there no limit to the beast's strength? Hulk will finish Longhair, no! And so the Hulk strikes Thor backhand with a stoom! And the Hulk grabs Thor and is pounding him into the ground. And he jumps on top and he's like, even without hammer, you keep fighting back. Why can't Hulk defeat you? Why? 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 And smashing every time he shouts why, he's smashing Thor deeper into this giant crater. And we see Thor is crawling out of the crater and he leaps at the Hulk and he's like, because I be son of Odin. Give up! Give up! Give up! Shouts the Hulk. And it sends Thor flying. Thor's like, I say thee, never. 'Tis madness. 'Tis sheerest folly. Why do we fight? What is to gain? What of the incalculable damage we have wrought? You should have thought of that like 20 pages ago, Thor.
Stay down. Hulk must win.
And so Thor is kind of laying there, getting a bloody nose, and the Hulk is encroaching on him. And then Mjolnir comes back, and the Hulk is like, no, no, not hammer. And Mjolnir has come back, and Thor says, why stop thou, monster? Is it because thou faceth the wrath of Asgard once again?
Hulk not afraid. Hulk not afraid of any man, but Thor not man. Thor, god of thunder. Hulk stronger than Thor. Hulk need no hammer to smash enemy.
Nor does Thor, says Thor. Let Mjolnir again be gone. Thor shall fell thee with bare hands alone. And he goes to throw the hammer, and the Hulk dodges the hammer by leaping up. And the Hulk's like, no, keep hammer. Hulk doesn't care. Hulk only fights when angry. Anger gone now. Hulk will crush Thor next time.
And Thor calls Mjolnir back to him. And the Hulk goes bouncing off. And Thor's left there alone in the burning remains of this village.
For one brief moment in time, a god hath fought a monster. And the taste of battle still clings bitter to my lips. I, who am sprung from gods, turned as savage as he. Goaded by a lusting for victory. My rage blinded me to the damage the suffering thus caused. What doth it matter? And who be the stronger? 'Twas he who entered the fray, while I hungered to battle on in the name of empty pride. Yea, to my eternal shame on this bleak day, a god turned monster too.
And that is the end of Thor number 385. And of course, we do have a few words to say about this issue right after this important message.
Hello and thank you for calling the Tales of the Justice Society of America 24-hour live human being customer service hotline.
Hello,
Unfortunately, all of our representatives are sleeping, or busy, busy. All of our representatives are busy right now. But if you stay on the line, your call will be answered in reverse Hungarian alphabetical order, starting with the letter
D. Okay.
Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line.
All right.
We are experiencing longer than usual wait times. Your call will be answered in
94
minutes. Please continue to hold. Your call is extremely important to us. Please stay on. Check us out on the web at www.twotruefreaks.com. Your call is ridiculously important to us.
Yeah, if my call's so important, then why don't you answer it? Is taking so long?
You may be asking yourself, what the f*** is taking so long?
Please
be sure that we'll be with you shortly. Please continue to hold.
Answer. Answer the goddamn...
Let me check. Is he still there?
Hey guys, he's still holding.
Uh-oh.
We're sorry for your wait. Please continue to hold.
God damn it.
Tales of the Justice Society of America is back with all new episodes, only at twotruefreaks.com.
And we are back. So obviously this is a fill-in story and not a very good one either, but it does bear mentioning that this is actually one of the very early professional appearances of Eric Larson as penciler. Eric Larson, of course, a member of the Image Comics crowd, went on to create Savage Dragon and so forth, and actually made, you know, quite a big name for himself back during the 1990s. But here, this is obviously a very early piece. I definitely get the impression that this story was kicking around in a drawer for quite some time. Probably the first comics work that Stan Lee had published for quite some years. And, you know, as far as what Stan did, I think the story is okay. I mean, Stan's writing, at least in that aspect of it, is good. Art-wise, it's really a mixed bag. And here's kind of my observation about this. The characters, the figures of the Hulk and Thor and the Barbie doll, who I'll get to in a moment, are generally pretty good. But the rest of it, the backgrounds, the, you know, anything that's not the main characters, looks like shit. And the sound effects are just bizarre. I mean, we've seen a lot of strange sound effects in Thor over the years, but nothing like these. These are just kind of lame sound effects. And is it just me, or does this seem to be more of a Hulk story than a Thor story? I get that they could kind of make the argument that it could be either, but it seems to me that this is more of a Hulk story than a Thor story, mainly because the focus at the very beginning is really on the Hulk. That being said, the Hulk was really out of character. I don't remember the Hulk being quite so violent. I mean, it's almost like Stan, or I guess Jim Shooter, who plotted the story, really didn't have a very good grasp on who the Hulk was nowadays. You know, I don't remember the Hulk threatening people in quite this blatant a way before. And of course, the implied smashing of the camping family. Of course, you know, they mentioned later that, oh yeah, he didn't kill them, he just scared them. But that required dialogue in order to tell us that. They didn't actually show it. So somebody thinks that the Hulk out there is likely to be a cold-blooded murderer. I think the Hulk, you know, hurt lots of people accidentally, but maybe not quite so bloodthirsty as he's portrayed here. Now, the other observation that I would make here is that any characters that show up other than the Hulk and Thor are treated as basically their paper dolls. They have absolutely zero depth. They're cardboard cutouts. They're there only to be victimized or to comment on what's going on. They have absolutely no personality whatsoever. I think the girl in the hotel is a really good example of that, because she's basically a prop. And, you know, then she's just thrown away and discarded. We don't hear or see her again. There's nothing that connects us to her. And it's, like I said, it's almost comical the way that they prevent the the viewer from looking up her skirt. But the way that other characters other than Thor and the Hulk are treated is just really, really poor and dismal. I mean, what did happen to that guy in the hardware store who was trapped underneath the shelf? We don't know. We don't care. There's no connection there. So, generally speaking, I think this is a pretty crappy story, and obviously a fill-in, and in a time when fill-in issues were anything but special. I remember, you know, of course, I was reading comics during this era still, and I remember this particular stage in Marvel was an era where I would think I would rather have seen a reprint than most of the fill-in issues that they had. And I don't say that about a lot of comics, that you would rather see a reprint than a fill-in, because generally these inventory stories are not that great. And this, of course, is not an exception to that rule. It was pretty piss poor. All right, so with that, it is about time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, I really do appreciate you tuning in. And of course, if you want to contact the show, please feel free to send us an email. The email is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also find us over on the Facebook. So go join us on Facebook. Look for Radio Free Asgard there, and you will find us. All right, so with that, I'm off. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.